You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
My name is Quentin Crisco.
I'm Brenda.
Welcome back into the Bears Hopium Den, our summer podcast series on the Windy City Gridiron Podcast Network. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer and podcaster for Windy City Gridiron. Today we're going to be talking about the topic of Bears Twitter. Now, why in the world would I give an entire episode just to talk about Bears Twitter? Well, if you write about the Bears and if you podcast about the Bears and if you're creating content about the Bears, you're on Bears Twitter. You are on Twitter. You have to navigate through all of the debris like a linebacker trying to sift through traffic to make the tackle. It does take some level of effort to cultivate your timeline and to make sure that you're getting some good content. But after a while, it does become a source where you get information very quickly. You will know signings faster than you would if you were just updating websites regularly because, you know, it becomes instant. A player says, hey, I'm going here, or the agent says, this player is going to go here. You know that very quickly when you're on Twitter. You would have to wait a little bit more time to find that on a website for somebody to see that, go and write an article, and then publish it. And by the way, they'd publish it, pushing it to Twitter as well. And so in our society with that instant gratification, Twitter does really help that. There's downsides of it, of course. I think that it holds enough presence in my life and the life of many of my colleagues that I thought it might be interesting to just have a couple people that I have met through Bears Twitter come onto the Hopium Den. We'll talk about the things that we've talked about with everybody else, and then we'll focus on that particular topic. And so today we're going to be talking with Quentin and Brenda, a couple people, again, that I've met through Bears Twitter. Quentin and Brenda come at Twitter from a very different way, but they both also have some similarities in why that they're engaging in Twitter. And they came to social media to find that network of Bears fans and to share their thoughts and to learn and to get more knowledgeable as fans. And so there's a lot of difference between these two, and there's a lot of similarities. And I thought that would be an interesting juxtaposition to bring those two on to have a conversation about this. So welcome to episode 4. Episode 5 will drop next Wednesday, and we're just going to keep moving through these conversations that I had all summer. Again, we're still planning on 10 episodes. Episode 4 starts now. Quentin speaks first.
You can find me on Twitter at BuckusStat, write for OnTap Sportsnet, and podcast for Shaving Points Podcast. I've been a Bears fan since I saw Keith Trailer return a ball 60-some yards and not get the touchdown, but get the oxygen tank on the sideline.
And I'm Brenda. My Twitter handle is at Brenda J. Weber, as are all my handles. I'm based out of Iowa, and I've been a Bears fan my whole entire life.
All right. So origin story. So every superhero has an origin story. Every fan has an origin story. I want to know why you became a Bears fan. Like what was the, you know, path to that? You know, was it, you know, your family brought you into it, or, you know, you dated somebody, or, you know, you like the colors? I don't care, you know, what the answer is, but like, I find the origin story very interesting. So Q, you mentioned tractor trailer running down the field, but, you know, let's, you know, a little more. What's your origin story as a Bears fan?
Yeah. So, I mean, my dad was a giant Bears fan. And so with the Keith Trailer stories, like that 2001 season was when I was first starting to, you know, really get into football and like pay some more attention to it. But I wasn't at the point where I'd sit down and watch every game, no matter what. And I had something better to do that day. I remember probably like playing Grand Theft Auto or something, who knows, but I was in the basement and I hear from upstairs, my dad just dying laughing. And I'm like, yeah, what's going on up there? What can be so funny? I gotta go up and see. I thought you were just watching football. And I'm seeing these replays of Keith Traylor. And then I didn't miss a game for the next few years after that. I just watched every game with him from there on out.
It's just like trying to find somebody to take the ball from them, and they're all like, no, keep going.
It was incredible. It was, you couldn't stop. Like it was hysterical. Just handing it off. And then with the face mask on the sideline, it was just great.
And I would have been watching that in a dorm room in college, but you're watching it at home at what age?
Oh, I was 11 years old at the time.
Okay. Young, and Brenda, yeah. I don't know if you even remember that game. So,
no, I'm trying to place it in my mind. And
I'm starting to feel old. All right, Brenda, what about you? What's your origin story as a Bears fan?
So I've been a Bears fan my whole life. My dad's entire family is based out of Chicago. I still have family there, like in Chinatown and stuff. Unfortunately, when I was a kid, my parents split up young, so I would go visit my dad's on the weekends, but we'd drive back on Sundays, so I didn't really get to watch any football games as a kid. I watched a lot of basketball, but it wasn't until I got into high school and then college that I really started to pay attention. And then I didn't miss a game. My ex at the time, it was a Vikings fan, which we knew it shouldn't have. Never should have. So I take pride whenever we beat the Vikings. But my husband was a Colts fan when I met him, and I turned him into a Bears fan. So now it's just all Bears all the time, every chance I get.
Nice conversion.
I love it. He turned me into a Hawkeye fan, so I feel like it's a very fair, type of trade there.
That's a nice trade.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up a Hawkeye fan myself.
My husband and I used to joke back. He's a Colts fan because a bunch of Hawkeye players went to the Colts. But we had this joke when we first got together that we would watch the Bears until it became postseason or playoffs, and then we'd watch Colts because the Bears would never be on.
They're hibernating.
Yeah, hibernating. Oh, whew, like that.
So the next question kind of rolls into this. So what does this team mean to you? So this can be like your day-to-day experience. You got a lot of gear that you wear. Does it really just ramp up in the fall, or is it something that's all year round? Is it very meaningful for family connections or relationships or friendships? On a real molecular level, what does this team mean to you?
It's actually kind of a tough question to really think through. I mean, the first place I'd start is just my family with my dad. It's something that we're always talking about, always, just anytime we're on the phone or in person, the Bears somehow come up eventually. But from a day-to-day standpoint, it's something outside of anything going on in real life. It's something that is always there that you can kind of get some entertainment out of, get some time away from whatever you might be dealing with. And it's like football. I love football. I don't know if that's a good explanation. I don't know if I can really explain it. It's always pulling me back the second I step away from it.
Football in general or the Bears?
The Bears. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think football would kind of, even if the Bears just somehow ceased to exist, I'd still be a big football fan, but I wouldn't put the kind of time that I put into it now wouldn't be the same kind of return for me personally. It's just there's a personal aspect of it's almost like I get so much enjoyment out of seeing them do well and really getting to know everything about these players, these coaches, and the schematic side of it, and trying to see it through their eyes whenever I can, that it wouldn't be the same if it wasn't for the Bears.
Brenda, what about you? How would you describe your relationship with the Chicago Bears?
I've always loved them. Like I said, I didn't really start watching and paying attention until I got, maybe the late high school, early college level. But then it became like everyone knew I was a Bears fan, like across everything. They knew I was short and I was a Bears fan. And so it was when Bear season would come around, like my friends would mute my Twitter because I would just tweet constantly during games. And now I've come across this, I've really engaged within the Bears community on Twitter. And so that's been a nice thing to really, to have that, because it's always just kind of been me. Like, my dad still lives in California. My husband likes the Bears, but I don't have anyone else that's like Bears except for Twitter. Mm-hmm. So even my kid, he's my stepson, his other family likes the Patriots. So it's like this constant, like, ugh.
When he started with a P, I thought that was going to go an even worse direction.
No, so. No. Oh, I would have, like, wouldn't have even joined the family. Yeah, it could be way worse.
Yeah, we'll get into the Twitter stuff in a little bit, but I think that you know, finding that community is important, and you know, as long as we'll get into that question later. So this one's an easy one. So, maybe it's a hard one, but this is the fun one. I'll put it this way. So, favorite player, and I want you to answer it two ways. One is your favorite player of all time. If you're no one will ever answer this, but you know, if you're a nerd and you like to read the history and you listen to like my podcast series about Bears history, and you're like, I just love Bronco Nagurski, that's a fair answer. But if it's, you know, someone that you saw growing up that, you know, had you fall in love with the team, or someone that, you know, is recent, but I want you to answer this with your all-time favorite player, and then I need you to tell me on the current roster who your favorite player is.
Yeah, so all time, I think it's If you ever see me on Twitter, it's kind of obvious. My name is Butkus Stats. My name is not Butkus. So Dick Butkus is, I mean, I never got to see him play, obviously, but I love the stories about him, the legend behind him. Like, I love watching the old clips and players talking about what it was like to play against him. It's just, I feel like he embodies everything that is the Chicago Bears, what he did on the field. In good and bad ways, but I just think he's the perfect linebacker and exactly what I think of when I think of the Chicago Bears. On the current roster, I probably have to go with Eddie Jackson. I know he's been beaten up by the fan base the last few years and some rough tackling, but I still think he's such a talented safety. And the more I've kind of started to watch coverages the last year or two and really try to understand them better, just to see the things that he does out there is it's impressive, and it's hard to unsee after I've started noticing it. So just his versatility out there, and it seems like he's really bought into the new staff with the real team first kind of mentality, which you love to see, and that's why I think he's at the top of the list right now.
I want to follow up on the Butkus answer, because you never got to see him play. So,
right.
So how does that, and you know, you've gone so far as to name your Twitter account after Butkus, and did Butkus follow you when he was, well, him or his son, whatever it was briefly active on Twitter? Did he end up following you?
Yeah, he did fairly early. I somehow, when I first saw it, I was just like, maybe this is really him. I'll retweet it for him. When he had like 100 followers and he followed me right away, it ended up actually being him. So I was pretty proud of that one.
So how did you come to that decision that like this guy that you hadn't actually ever seen play, this would be your favorite player? Is it your dad's favorite player, or like, was it just like purely NFL films?
No. So my dad's favorite player is probably Singletary, because he was in his 20s in the 80s and loved watching Singletary. It's really NFL film stuff. You know, I've gone down the YouTube rabbit hole many times in my life on Dick Butkus, and just the thing that always stands out to me is the sheer like respect that everyone they talk to played against him. That everyone just there's no question that Dick Butkus was great. You know, that he was, and the tackling that you see in the limited film that you get, and it's just, you see him making like one-handed interceptions and then taunting the guy with the ball. Like, it's just, it's great. I mean, it's stuff that you can't even do in the NFL anymore, but I love it. I fell in love with those videos I found probably in high school. And just ever since then, it's been Butkus, he's the top dog.
Cool. Brenda, what about you? Who's been your favorite all-time player? And then who's the guy on the roster now that you're into?
All-time? I'm really torn between Urlacher and Peanut Tillman. When I really started watching, we had such a good defense, the Monsters of the Midway. I loved it so much. Originally, I would have said Urlacher, but I think Charles Tillman has grown even more on me as of recent. And then on the current roster, I'm going to go with Roquan Smith. Just impeccable tackling and just seeing an amazing defensive player in Chicago. It just warms my heart. Like, oh, maybe we'll get it back.
next question is, like, how do you watch games? So, you know, some people go to all the games. Some people like to watch them by themselves, you know, isolation chamber, because, you know, they can't be bothered. Or some people like a lot of people. People like to go to the bar. So, you know, how do you watch games? And then rituals, like, you know, do you wear the same shirt if they win? You keep wearing it? Or, you know, do you like to, you know, do certain things with your, you know, you got a sock thing, whatever. Like, there's always some sports rituals that come with being a fan. I'm curious if you've carried any of those.
So how I watch games, I am an absolute hermit on Sundays during football season. I want to go into the room I'm in right now where I got two TVs. I can put on Red Zone on one and watch the game I want to watch on the other, and like take some notes if I choose to, and just fully focus on the game and not be distracted. I started doing that maybe 4 years ago, and I've really enjoyed watching like that. Before that, I was more watching with other people out at bars and stuff. But I found that I really like the kind of solitary aspect of it. As far as superstitions go, they kind of change year to year depending on what's working, because I'm obviously the reason the Bears are winning or losing. So, you know, whatever I'm doing, I did something wrong. But like in 2018, I think I wore the same shirt almost every time, and just like little things like that. Like, you know, if they lose the game, it's like, did I just wash this shirt? Why'd I do that? Like, you know, stuff that makes no sense, but it's something in our brains as fans is like, that's why this happened.
What about you, Brenda? What's your ritual and how do you watch the games?
So the way I watch the games is I like to just, like, me and my husband, or me, my husband, and my kid. And sometimes my kid, I have to kick him out because he talks too much through the whole thing. And they're like, you go play video games or something. Like, you're distracting me. But I can't have friends over. Again, I don't have Bears fans here that I can, like, we can all just watch together. So I like to just watch it by myself. Any of my friends don't even like football enough for me to invite them over. I went to a Super Bowl party. It was my neighbors. I love them, but no one watched the game and it drove me crazy. So I have to be able to watch it and pay attention and see what's going on and tweet at the same time, which is also obviously so important. But as far as rituals, I try to always wear a jersey, and I always have, like last year, I always started with the same coffee mug that says like Bears Mom on it, and I have to watch it in the same room. Like, I can't leave. Like, if I started it somewhere, if I started, you know, wearing these socks, like, I can't change, I started it and I have to finish it like the whole way through. Like, I don't know, I'm like Nagy, no halftime adjustments. But that's probably it. And that's just kind of how I've always been. I've always been pretty superstitious as far as watching any sports, whether it's like even basketball. I always had to do during the Bulls games, I had to make sure I commented the eyes And the red circle, to, you know, right before every game, I had to make sure that I did that, even though, you know, it obviously didn't help.
So what jerseys do you have?
I have three, and they're the only three like I've ever owned. One is an Urlacher one, and it was like the first one I got, and I was so proud of it. And it was like the real stitching. I was so excited. And then I have one that just is white, and it says Brenda. And then I wore that one to the very first Bears game I went to. And then they were also selling the like the throwback, like really dark navy with the, sure,
the 40s.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I ended up getting that while at the game, and I changed before the game started. And that's like my go-to jersey now that I wear pretty much all the time. Well, during every game.
Whose jersey?
It's a number 7. It's a custom. So I don't, so that I can keep wearing it.
Oh, so it's just your lucky number?
7 is my lucky number. Okay. You know, it's a happy coincidence that it's a retired number. So.
You know who it's retired for, right?
Yeah, and I'm blanking on the name. That's why I was stalling.
George Halas.
George Halas, yeah, okay. Papa Bear.
And then so. Ed Sprinkle.
I'm glad you didn't turn that to me.
Oh.
Because I didn't have an answer.
Well, what's funny is that they, all right, so here's the nerdy. But the nerdiness of it all is that Halas wore number 7, so he would have played, you know, I think through like 1926 or something. Yeah, I mean, but he never wore that jersey, right? So when they came out with those throwback jerseys, the guy that actually would have worn that jersey is Ed Sprinkle, who is a fantastic deep dive. He's like Butkus, but you know, 2 decades earlier, and he's this like crazy dude, you know, just mean defensive end, and he was like the first real pass rusher in the NFL. He would have actually worn that style of jersey with that number 7. And then they retired the numbers later. So it's actually, yeah, 2 Hall of Famers with that number. So it's a pretty
and
cool.
Me.
And so, you, I mean, so 3 Hall of Famers. All right. So the next question I have is about the stadium. So one of the big offseason stories is, you know, Bears moving to Arlington Heights. They've got land acquired. You know, they're looking to build a new stadium. Obviously, new stadiums going up all around the NFL. Bears are an old stadium, smallest capacity stadium, you know, giant fan base, giant city. So question to you guys is, does this matter to you? Are you in favor of a new stadium? Do you think that's a good idea? And what would you want to see with it if they do end up building it? What's your feelings on leaving Soldier Field?
I am in favor of it, absolutely. Just the extra income that they can generate, that being able to upgrade their facilities for game day for players, that can't hurt anything. I don't know what the facilities at Soldier Field are like. Obviously, the ones at Halas Hall are very nice, but the game day facilities, I don't know. But I would also be lying if I said it didn't hurt me a little bit, the thought of them leaving Soldier Field. Growing up, I was always so, it's still to this day, just so proud of Soldier Field for whatever Chicago pride reason I have. I just, the flyover is just gorgeous right on the lakefront. There's so much that I've just always loved about it, and it'll suck to see them leave there. But getting better turf, better locker room facilities there, and more income to the team to be able to do more spending as in some capacity. It might not always be under the salary cap, but more spending that can help the team out is something I think I'm for. And I would love to see a Super Bowl or a Final Four in Chicago. And I know that Chicago is the type of city that they're going to be wanting to come to if they have the ability with a new big stadium there. So yeah, ultimately I'm for it, with a little bit of disdain towards the thought of it, but.
Brenda, what about you? You traveled back and forth to Chicago. So did you spend any time in Soldier Field? Does it have a special place in your heart, or are you ready for a new stadium?
I do feel, since I'm not a true Chicagoan, that I don't have a, you know, I'm not able to really weigh in on this. I obviously a new stadium would be amazing. And like like you said, the money that it could generate and upgrade the turf. And like, if I could go to a game where it's not freezing, I'm not built for the cold. I hate the cold. So that would be great. I mean, the Bears have never done well in cold weather anyway. So that doesn't factor in. Not having such a, bad grass that they all slip on, and some of those things would be nice. And I think it would be great to have a new stadium. And the thought of having like a Super Bowl there, especially since Chicago is a huge city. It's a top five city. Like, how do they not have something that's just incredible? They should. They deserve it. The people deserve it. So those are my thoughts. But I've only been to Soldier Field once. It was amazing. I loved it. I will forever treasure it. But it's also because it's the Bears, and I will follow the Bears wherever they go.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I grew up about 20 to 25 miles outside the city. I only went to Soldier Field once when I lived there, because it was so hard to get tickets and so expensive. And just like, I lived there for 18 years. I only got there once. So that's an upside of the new stadium, adding to that capacity.
Right. Yeah. Cause there's so many other stadiums that have so much more room, and the thought of having more spaces, especially for people who want to get like season tickets, like that's just got to be insane and impossible right now with how small it is.
What's the wait list is like multiple years, isn't it? I guess it's not years; it's a number of people that need to get behind.
When people die, it'll go to their kids, and then if they want to sell them.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, so this is the theme of this particular episode, and I wanted to bring on a couple people that I've interacted with on Bears Twitter that I didn't have in a different show. Thank you for doing this. And I want to talk about Bears Twitter specifically, because I find myself spending a lot of time on Twitter. I have to, I think, as a writer and a podcaster, content creator, to share my stuff. And it's a way to interact with people. And occasionally you get to interact with national writers. Not that that happens very often, but, you know, every once in a while there's some, you know, overlap. And you guys are both better at Twitter than I am, if we look at numbers. And so I think it's fair for you to speak with authority on, you know, how you interact with this sometimes terrible and sometimes fun website, and, you know, what it is in your daily life, and what this Bears community that's on Twitter means to you, and how you interact with it. So Q, why are you in the hellscape of Bears Twitter?
So I'll go back to when I started the account a few years ago. At the time, I was just a lowly guy posting random original content on the Bears subreddit and just doing that for, you know, no real reason, just because I like the Bears. And I was starting to build up so much just stat content on my computer that I was like, man, I gotta do something with this, or I gotta delete it. And I don't want to delete it. So it was, I just kind of thought, like, maybe I'll just make a Twitter account, see if it picks up any traction. It just started out as like something to see if I could kind of, you know, build any following there, maybe get into writing or podcasting or whatever else might come with it. And it became so much more than that. Like, the Bears Twitter is just, it's so supportive of people who put out good content. And people just jumped on so fast to following me, sharing my stuff, telling other people to follow me, that it was just, I mean, I don't even have words for it. It was incredible. And it means a lot to me the way that it did blow up, because it's still to this day, you know, it gives me a lot of purpose to what I enjoy to do beyond just my enjoyment. You know, it's my enjoyment. I'm helping other people trying to help other people understand the game better, while also learning the game better myself through it, through finding questions that I wouldn't have asked myself that someone else asked me, you know, and digging into that. And it's Bears Twitter, like you said, it can get rough sometimes, but for the most part, as long as you keep it respectful and mute the accounts who aren't respectful, you get by great.
Brenda, what about you?
So, originally I started tweeting about the Bears with a different account right out of college, and some during college, and I got a lot of feedback. It was really cool. Like I said, my friends that weren't interested in football would mute me because they'd be like, oh, it's Sunday, like, Brenda's just talking about the Bears and what's going on in the game. And then I kind of stopped. I continued watching, but it wasn't until really this last year, I really got into Twitter again. And I'm so glad I did. And I just kind of started tweeting very similar to what I was already doing or what I had done in the past. And it just, there was like such a bigger community than what I had before. It was just amazing. And again, so supportive. I haven't had to deal with what I would normally deal with as a woman talking about sports with Bears Twitter, like, at all. Like, there's been, you know, some outliers, or like people that don't follow me might have a comment or two, but really it's been supportive and people encouraging me to tweet more and get on podcasts and stuff like that. So it really not only, you know, helped fuel my love for the Bears, but it gave me a place to talk about Bears football that I didn't have whatsoever. My family, it's really just my dad that I can talk to with football, and he's in California. So, and then, you know, my husband, and that's it. None of my friends care about football. They all suck.
So, I was gonna say, any better friends?
I know. Well, it's, you know, like, I'm not from the area, and also I just stay at home all the time. It, so Like, I'm not helping myself in any way whatsoever as to why I don't have friends, but I have Bears Twitter, and what more do you need? Don't go to Bears Facebook. Bears Facebook is the show. Bears Twitter at least kind of knows what it's talking about sometimes. It is, there's a balance, and if you find kind of the a lot of the people that like I get to interact with on like a regular basis are all wonderful human beings, but it's not just full of that. It's full of everyone. And so you kind of have to take the good with the bad, but
it's kind of like one of the things that I've had a hard time with since getting on Twitter and like starting to get a following and like having what I say matter a little bit, like, is for most of my life, like, I kind of looked at it as like, I'm going to have an opinion, but then like, I'm going to trust the guys who are doing it. So like when they drafted Trubisky, it was like, at first I was not happy with it. And then I started talking myself into it and kind of getting out of that mindset and being able to find like reasoning behind my opinion more and being supporting my opinion more has been a kind of a tough adjustment for me over the years, because it's, you're putting yourself out there a little more, mm-hmm. you know, you're not. And before that, it was my thoughts were kind of, and I mean, that's why I believe Trubisky was the guy. I didn't like the pick, but mm-hmm. I was trusting him, and I could squint and see, think I see what they see. So let's see if it works out, was kind of my mindset. But now it's kind of like, if I'm out here putting out content, I can't take that stance. You know, I need to really try to form an opinion mm-hmm. and explain it, you know, which is, it's just a different standpoint.
You got to be, because you're going on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's firm with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different world. I don't know that my opinion matters, but you know, I'm on multiple podcasts all the time, and
yeah,
and they get downloaded. Say, so it's like, well,
not to say it matters,
yeah,
but someone know, listens to matter. It, even don't if it's just three people.
I just want to create,
yeah,
like good content that elevates the discourse, you know, and doesn't get in mudslinging and or the like extremes, like this team sucks, they're terrible, they're going to be awful, or they're going to be great because I love them and I'm just going to will it into existence. And it's like, well, okay, like I feel like we can at least offer some fair analysis of what we see. And I watch so much football that it's like, why not make this into something a little more? And I like to write, you know, I do the math stuff too, but that's not the only thing I want to do. You know, like you've got your niche and Jay Wood's got, you know, and
trust me, I don't take that in any negative way. I love the math.
Yeah, no, and I like the graph. I like making the graphics and I like, you know, I just want to make sure we're not going too far with just the analytics stuff, because it's not baseball, you know, and or when we get into like, hey, man, not that you do this, but like, hey, man, PFF grades, you know, have this guy this and I chart it and it's like, it's a black box. Yeah. Is it replicable? Like I get my scientist in me and I can't, you know, I can't help myself.
Really? That's one of my goals. And most of the stuff I do is to try to bridge like logic and understanding of scheme and concept and film and how it all works together with the math, because I agree, like just the analytics standing alone, they don't really stand up very well. It's all meant to be worked together, you know?
Right, right. That's a worthy bridge to build, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I want to ask just one follow-up on Bears Twitter, and then we'll move to final thoughts. But someone that's not on Twitter right now that's listening to this podcast, would you recommend that they dip their toe into the water and try to find this Bears community?
Yeah, I absolutely would. Like I already said, it's very supportive of quality content, whether you're a content creator or not. It's just a fun place to be. And one of the things that I kind of find in it is there's a lot of just funny content within it. So if you like football and just want some laughs, it's there. But if you like football and want to learn as much as you possibly can about it, there's also a lot there for you too. And there's a lot in between all of that. So it's a great spot to be a football fan. It's a great community to participate in.
No, I 100% agree with that. It, to be able to talk to other people while the game's going on, before the game, after the game, see, the news is so instant with Twitter, which is good or bad. But like you said, being able to learn from Twitter, that I think that's been one of my favorite parts. Is I only know what I know, and being able to interact with other people that know more than me or have different insight than I do has been really beneficial. While watching the games, you know, just seeing things through a different perspective. I didn't play football except flag football because my mom wouldn't let me because I'm only 4'9". Wow. I tried. I wanted to so bad. But so I don't have some of those things that other people do, the insight. And so trying to get it, you know, secondhand at Bears Twitter is just great. And like you said, the community is wonderful also. I don't feel like I can ask dumb questions. I don't feel like my opinion is unworthy on there. And there is good discourse. So all around, I feel whatever it is that you're looking for, you can find it with Bears Twitter.
All right. So final thoughts, take it where you want. You want to talk about this season? You want to talk about near future, far future? You want to talk about just your thoughts on being a Bears fan? How much navy and orange you have in your closet? I don't care, but whatever, it's open to you. Final thoughts.
So I'm going to take it back to something that was kind of mentioned a little bit earlier with the kind of the culture that Nagy built. And this was something that I started to worry about in like, probably a little too late, but not that I could have done anything about it. But in 2021 was like, I started to think this through as like, and not to say that I'm a big John Fox fan or anything, but John Fox can build a culture of holding players accountable and playing disciplined football. It seemed, maybe that was Vic, I don't know, but it seemed like Nagy inherited that and it worked out great in year one. And every year after that started sliding a little more and a little more. And it's one of the reasons why I do like Eberflus a lot for this team, is I think he's a guy who's going to bring that accountability instantly and that discipline and hold players up to his standard. And if they're not, bring in players that will meet his standard. So that's one thing I'm excited to watch this year. See the development of young guys, see how guys grow, see how the team just grows all as one, not as individuals. I know it's kind of cheap to keep mentioning Lovey just because it's a cover two guy. When Lovey's first year here, or that was what, 2004, the Bears, you know, they started off rough. Rex Grossman went down like week one or week two, and they had no quarterback, and Thomas Jones still got 1,000 yards somehow, and they were winning some games down the stretch that didn't matter, but you could kind of see that team form. They beat the Packers at Christmas Day, I think it was, or Christmas Eve, and it was like they shouldn't have beaten the Packers that game, but some linebacker that no one had ever heard of named Lance Briggs got an interception. And that's where this stuff starts, you know? So that's something I'm excited to see this year, is these young guys who are hopefully going to be the guys that we're eventually seeing as Lance Briggs that we know now. Something that I'm really watching for this year.
Brenda?
To go along with that, just hearing Lance Briggs' name is like, fills me with so much happiness to think back to that time. I think I want to say it was the 05 season. It was the 06 Super Bowl. I mean, we had three quarterbacks that season. And just imagining that team there, but with like, I don't know, someone competent. Or like, I don't know, just one quarterback like the whole season that played all the way through with the team. Like, that would have been incredible. And I just... It's all new. You know, we have some new guys. Obviously, all the staff is new and just what could be, you know, it's so exciting to what, as to what this could turn into, you know, it's not like last season was so depressing, like just going into the season, knowing that Nagy was still the coach, that it could only be the same thing over and over again. It was just sad. Even bringing Justin Fields in, you knew it had, it can only go so far. And so I think I'm just so hopeful for what this team could become. And like you said, like, you know, is some of these players going to be the next Lance Briggs? And again, I love the defense. So I always go back to them, but that's true.
Habit of a Bears fan.
It is. That's why watching, like, when watching Colts games with my husband, it was like, oh, it was Peyton Manning just throwing the ball while willy nilly, and the defense is doing nothing because they don't have to.
As Bears fans, I think we're all Buddy Ryan when he said, what was it, the quarterbacks are pompous, and they deserve to be hurt. Or something like that. That's a Bears fan. That's what Bears fans think. Think about their quarterback a lot of the time.
Yeah, his ideal game was a 2-0 win.
Yep.
But I think there's a lot that can be accomplished. You know, even just the what we're hearing out of, you know, rookie minicamps and OTAs, it's so exciting, the unknown. It's all unknown, because we've never had this team, this staff, this coach. You know, what could happen? It's, who knows? So I feel like that's the part of me that it's getting rid of being so sad and depressed about that. It's just, well, we know it's not going to be worse. So, but no, fingers crossed. No, it's just excitement. I can't wait for the season to start. I can't wait to see what these guys really can do. Even just the first couple games, you know, what they're capable of with this new regime. And then come, you know, the final games of the season, where they'll be at in comparison to where they started. Just excitement right now, because everyone has the same record today. We have zero wins, all of us, but zero losses.
Easiest time of the year to sell hope.
Oh yes, God, I'm so hopeful and excited. But you know, ask that question again after the first game and see where I'm at.
And that was my conversation with Brenda and Quentin from back in May, talking about Bears Twitter and everything else about being a Bears fan. Really want to thank them for their time. Really good conversation. If you're not on Bears Twitter, you know, maybe look into it. I can't guarantee that it's the right thing for you. And if you have avoided that particular social media, I totally respect that. And maybe that's the best choice for you. But there are a lot of good people on Bears Twitter. There is a good community there. And I think that if you find that community and you're willing to sift through some of the other stuff, block some people, you do what you have to do to cultivate a good timeline with it. It can be a valuable experience, and it can be a community that helps us all grow together as fans. So I hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation as much as I had recording it. If you are on Twitter or going to join up, find me at GridironBorn. I hope you guys are all enjoying your summer. And until next week, Bear Down.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.